It's a privilege for me to be with you. And then they're leaving tonight. It's always an honour and a privilege for me to be present here. I would like us to read from the Bible, please, in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. And we'll break in the chapter at verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now over to chapter 3, please. Chapter 3. Verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It's on my heart tonight just to share with you one or two simple thoughts about the great doctrine of justification. What that means. And in chapter 1 of this epistle, the Apostle Paul speaks about the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God. And then he goes on in the next verse to say, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I want just to pause for a minute and think of what that might mean. It's not meaning, I don't think it's suggesting at all, it's not speaking about the fact that God is a just God is revealed in the gospel. For this reason, in the Old Testament, you have the phrase a just God and a Saviour. God's justice, God's justness, if you like, was revealed a way back before the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached. Abraham, when he was pleading with God, he was interceding on behalf of the cities of the plain. And he wondered about the destruction that would follow the judgment of God. He said, well, will God destroy the just with the unjust? Will he destroy the good with the bad? And then he steps back and says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham knew that in the nature of God, in the inherent nature of God, there was justice. God could not be unfair. He could not be unjust, because God in his very nature was a just God and a Saviour. But the Apostle Paul is speaking about the gospel. After the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth from the realms of glory and was born in Bethlehem, as we know, and lived a holy and a lowly life, in this world, we know that he was crucified. And after he was crucified, he was buried. And after he was buried, he rose from the dead. And on rising from the dead, he met his disciples, his apostles, and he commissioned them. He gave them their marching orders, if you like. And he told them what they had to do. And he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, earlier in the gospel records, he had commissioned his disciples to go to the house of Israel to preach the gospel. But hereafter, he died upon the cross. After he was buried and rose again, after atonement had been made for human sin, he says to his apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." So that as a result of Jesus' life and death and burial and resurrection and ascension up to glory again, the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. The good news of Jesus Christ is preached to all mankind everywhere. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, "For in this gospel, in it, is manifested, is made known, is revealed to men. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." Now I understand that it should possibly read, "Our righteousness from God is revealed." That is to say, as a result of what happened on the cross at Calvary, the gospel will, through its preaching, make known the fact that God, there is a righteousness, there is a way for men to be brought into a right relationship with God through faith in Christ. And the Apostle Paul says, this righteousness from God is revealed from faith to faith. I want us to think just very simply about that tonight, this matter of being brought into a right relationship with God. I remember years ago in Lochgelly when we had the children's meeting. Every week there was about 130 children came, and I used to pray every week that they wouldn't come back, because I couldn't use object lessons, and I couldn't use flannographs, and when I put stuff up on the flannograph it fell off and the object lessons broke, and I was a disaster. But the children came back. And I actually really genuinely prayed that God would keep them from coming the next week. They never did. They came back. In fact, I was in the bank on Friday, and one of the girls that was in the children's meeting at that time, she's in the bank, and she came and spoke. She said, "These were great days, weren't they?" She says, "I remember some of your story yet." I said, "Do you?" "Yeah, I remember them," she said. Well, I was trying to, don't ask me to explain how I expected the children to understand this, but I was trying to explain the truth of being brought into a right relationship with God. Would you believe it? And I spoke to them about it in blank. Oh, it didn't get in. So I said to them, "It's like this. Man and God were meant to be in a right relationship with each other. Man was meant to have a right relationship with God back when Adam sinned. And sin took hold of the human race suddenly. Because of sin, they were brought out of a right relationship with each other." And I did like that, you see. And one of the girls that night said to me, "Alex, I've got that.
I understood the message of your hands better than what you were trying to say. But that was how I tried to illustrate it. Because of sin, men and God have been knocked out of a relationship with each other. Man was born to have a right relationship with God and enjoy God forever, as the ancient words say. But the Apostle Paul is saying here that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, a righteousness from God is revealed. A way to bring men and women back into a right relationship with himself is revealed through the gospel. And in chapter 3, as we read, it's through even the righteousness of God, which is by faith unto all and upon all, and so on, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're brought into a right relationship with God by his grace. Now I want us to think just very simply, if I can do that tonight, very simply, to speak to you about four key expressions. The time will beat me, but then that's all right. The time always beats me. But we'll try it. The first point I want to make is the source of justification, the source of being brought into a right relationship with God. What is the source of it? How does it come? And the Bible, the epistle to the Romans, indicates that it's by God's grace. Now there are two things that stand in contradistinction one to the other. The law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, that demanded that men would work, would observe it, do it, in order to live. And grace. The law is God asking men to do something for him. But the message of grace is God revealing that he has done something for men. And so the source of this righteousness, this way of righteousness, is the grace of God. God justifies the wicked, says chapter 4 of the Romans. How could God conceivably do such a thing? It says in chapter 4 of the Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. For us to make ourselves righteous is impossible. But how could a holy, righteous, just God bring into right relationship with himself people who were ungodly, who were sinners? How could he possibly do it and be true to his own nature? Well, chapter 4 speaks of that and says that God justifies because of the death of Christ. He brings men and women into a right relationship with himself because of the death of Christ. So the ground of our justification, the ground of being brought into a right relationship with God, is by his blood. We are justified by his blood. God himself, in the person of his Son, came down into the world and lived here. God manifest in flesh. He lived here. And he gave himself at the end of a sinless life up to God on behalf of mankind, for their sin, not for his, but for theirs. And the ground of our justification is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died on our behalf. You see, God is holy and just. He could not overlook sin. Sometimes in our society, governments declare an amnesty and say that people who have knives and guns and things, they should bring them all in, and no questions will be asked, and, you know, during the period of amnesty, they can bring all these things in and not be questioned about it. God isn't like that. The idea of an amnesty is pardon without principle, but God couldn't do that. Sin must be punished. And the beauty is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world in order that he might take upon himself the judgment for the sins of the guilty. Well, I remember when I was a boy, a long time ago, I heard a missionary, I think it was R.C. Allison of Angola. And I remember that day very well. He told us a story about he and Mr. Wiseman went to preach the gospel in a tribe that had never heard the gospel before. In fact, Mr. Wiseman and Mr. Allison discovered tribes that weren't on the Portuguese register, because Angola was Portuguese West Africa. But Mr. Allison said the gospel was blessed in this tribe and the chief got saved. And the chief, after he got saved, began to understand and read and hear the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word of God, and saw that righteousness exalts a nation. And so he set in place in that tribe the laws of God, if you like. Standards that must be observed. You see, in their paganism, one of the inherent aspects of their life was they stole without thinking. They took what was belonged to other people without even thinking about it. It was part of, it was endemic to their existence. And the chief made it clear that these things were wrong. They weren't to steal. They weren't to commit adultery and so on. And one day, news came to him that a bracelet had been stolen. A jeweled bracelet. He said, well, the guilty party must be found, and they will have 10 stripes of the lash. So the men that were commissioned to go and discover what was happening here, they came back and said, we found the culprit. So it was arranged that the whole tribe would gather in a clearing, all the tribe round about the clearing. And then the king, the chief said, bring the culprit in. And from the group looking on, there came these two men, bringing down an old woman. And as they came forward, everybody, there was a gasp, for the old woman was the chief's mother. And the people in that tribe wondered, will the law stand? Will he make an allowance for her Will he clear her and forget about the justice that he's introduced? So when he came forward, she came forward, he said to her, "Mother, I am deeply disturbed about what you have done. But I want you to know that I'll bear your punishment." And he stripped to the waist and said to these men, "Now, the 10 lashes I must take," but they were, you know, he was the chief. He was the king among them. And he said, "Now I must take the punishment for my mother's guilt. Do not spare it. Bring it down as heavily as you would on any stranger." And Mr. Allison said there was a deathly silence in that clearing that day. And the chief bent over the flogging post with his hands tied behind his back. And he took the 10 lashes. And Mr. Amerson said, "That taught better than any words. That taught better than any words the value of what justice means." And you see, God couldn't declare an amnesty and just pardon people without principle. No, he couldn't do that. This sin that offended him must be punished, and his son came into the world, identified himself with the human race, and went forward to meet God about the sin. So the Apostle Paul says that justification, the source of it is God's grace. Something that God does on behalf of mankind. The basis of it, the ground of it, is Christ's death. But thirdly, how does man and woman and boy and girl come into the benefit of it? By grace, by faith. Being justified freely by faith. What does faith mean? Well, the Bible makes it clear that faith isn't just a hoping in the dark. It's not that. Watchman Nee said many years ago in China to young Christians he was speaking to, he said, "Faith is our response to God's fact. God has revealed in the gospel certain things that are true. That is, his own son came in. His own son on our behalf bore the punishment. And the gospel reveals that those who respond to God's fact and believe that Jesus died on their behalf upon the cross come into the good of being brought into a right relationship with God. It's through faith. Everyone does business on certain levels, you know. I remember once trying to explain this to the children, and there was an ice cream shop down at the bottom of Buller Street where the hall was, and Mrs. McCarry sold ice cream, and I said to one of the girls, "Go down and ask Mrs. McCarry for an ice cream cone, a sixpenny cone." And she stood there and looked at me. I said, "Go and do it." She just looked at me. So I said, "Isa, what is the matter?" She says, "Where's the sixpence?" Now Isa knew that Mrs. Mackay did business on the basis of ice cream or cash. That's how she did her business. Anybody who wanted to get ice cream had to pay the appropriate sum. How does God do business with mankind with regard to bringing them into a right relationship with himself? It's not on the basis of cash. It's not on the basis of works. It's not on the basis of prayers. It's on the basis of us responding to God's message in simple faith. So, you're justified by faith. But then just let me finish by saying, what are the effects, what are the effects of justification, being brought into a right relationship with God? What does it mean for a person? Well, Romans 5 says some lovely things, and I'll just mention them. Romans 5 says, having been brought into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Peace. The war is over. The enmity that the apostle has spoken about has been removed. And that guilty sinner who was disturbed in conscience and in mind and in heart about the state of their soul, that person who believes the message that Jesus died on their behalf, has peace with God. I remember years ago now, in the south of Scotland, I met a young man just a week saved or so, and I said to him, Joe, how do you feel? Oh, he says, you know, he was raw. He says, Alec, I'll tell you something. All the time I was in that commune in London, high on drugs, I barely slept. He says, I think I slept with my eyes open and my ears open, waiting for the police to come up the stairs. But he says, you know, after I knelt and took the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour, do you know what happened? I went to my bed that night in a caravan, a Christian lady gave him a caravan. And he went to his bed in the caravan and he says, you know what happened? The sun was shining high in the sky the next day before I woke up. I was so much at peace that I slept the whole night. Peace with God. Secondly, through whom we have access into this grace in which we stand. God invites those that are brought into a right relationship with himself to come right in to where he is. He removes barriers. He takes away the distance. He brings the joy of reconciliation into play. And people who are brought into a right relationship with God have access to God. They realize that they can actually speak to God. Regardless of where we are. Out in the country, in the town, in the house, wherever we are, they have access to God. They can approach God with freedom and with confidence. And the Bible speaks about the full assurance of faith. They can come right into the very presence of God and speak to him. And thirdly, those that are brought into a right relationship with God rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let's just finish with this. Glory has to do with the splendor of the divine presence. There's not time and it's not a teaching meeting, but we could look at that. Way back in the Old Testament, when that tabernacle was built, there came a cloud down. And those that were standing outside of that tabernacle fell on their face before the splendor of the divine presence. And Romans says that you and I in our sinful state will never be able, we fall short of being able to go into divine splendor. It's impossible for us. But when a person is brought into a right relationship with God, they rejoice in the hope of sharing the divine splendor of God with God, where God is. Isn't that beautiful? My wife and I were on holiday in the summer, and she's kind of fond of going into these ancient castles and mansion houses and so on. And we went into this mansion house, and usually she keeps going at it, you know, and I usually go into the place where you get a cup of tea and just wait for her to sort of get round, you know. But it was a magnificent home, this, and it had a silver staircase, would you believe? A silver staircase. It was magnificent looking. And my wife went further on, and the lady, I was looking at this thing, the lady says to me, "Tell me, could you live here?" I said, "No. No, I couldn't. It's too grand." I couldn't imagine myself kicking my shoes off and sitting with my stocking feet up on a stool. Couldn't imagine it. It was too grand. I want to tell you tonight, one of the beauties of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the righteousness that is from God revealed in it is that God makes men and women fit for the divine splendor of his presence to feel perfectly and eternally at home. Isn't that beautiful? Nobody who has been brought into a right relationship with God, who has received his kind of life, eternal life in their heart, who has been brought into reconciliation with God, when they get home to glory, none of them will shrink and run away. They've been made for that. They've been redeemed for that. They're perfectly at home there in the presence of God. But a lovely thing it is to be brought into a right relationship with God. Thanks for listening. Shall we pray? Oh God, we ask a blessing upon thy word. The truth of the Holy Scriptures are beautiful. And sometimes we try with difficulty to explain them to others. They're grander than our thoughts, they're greater than our words can express. But we thank thee that we do understand in a simple way the fact that those that are brought into a right relationship with thee through the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning death, they have peace with thee. They have access into thy presence at all times. And thou hast marked out for them the joy of sharing thy divine presence. Bless each of us as we separate. Bless those who have not been with us tonight, for whatever reason. Lord, bless them. We would pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. Thank you.